week's Radio Theatre, we present The Late Christopher Bean, a comedy drama in three acts written by Sidney Howard. It was adapted for radio by Dorothy Bennett, produced by Rolf Jacobs, and directed in Durban by Delphine Leffridge. It was first broadcast on Springbok Radio on the 7th of July, 1971.
No, I didn't.
Gwenny! Gwenny! The doctor's home! Oh, Ada, go and help Gwenny get your father's breakfast.
Why should Gwenny need any help in getting my breakfast?
She's upset.
What's upsetting her?
Why, Dad? Gwenny's leaving us today.
Oh, yes, of course. Today is Thursday. Went right out of my head. After all the chitter-chatter there's been about it, too. So, Gwenny's leaving us after all these years.
Here's your breakfast, Dr. Raggett. And it is lovely enough and all. Oh, dear me, to think of you being out all this time on an empty stomach. Did everything turn out all right?
It did, Gwenny. A boy. 8 pounds, 3 ounces.
Well, dear me, isn't that a grand thing now? I bet Mr. and Mrs. Elliot are that pleased because it is a boy. Oh, I nearly forgot. Here's a telegram that's just come. I'll go and fetch your tea.
Thanks, Gwenny. Telegram, eh? From London.
What do you say?
An admirer of the late Christopher Bean will do himself the honour of calling on you on Thursday at 12 noon. Signed, Maxwell Davenport.
Chris Bean?
Oh, I haven't thought of him for years.
Chris Bean? The boy who painted all those pictures?
You mean he thought they were pictures when he wasn't too drunk to think?
Who's Maxwell Davenport?
Oh, I've never heard of him.
Here's your tea, Doctor. Coming today. Oh, and all the cleaning to do. Oh, and Gwenny leaves this afternoon. Oh, well. If you have no objection, Mrs. Agate, please, I would prefer you not to speak about my leaving. Well, you are leaving, aren't you? Yes, I am. But you know I don't want to be leaving, and I wouldn't be either if my poor brother Edwell's wife hadn't died and left him here in Manchester with 4 little children and no woman in the house.
Now, Gwenny, don't go over it all again, please.
Oh, we'll miss you, Gwenny.
And what about me, Miss Ada? What about me leaving this place where I've been so long? 15 years I've been here. 15 years, mark you. I can't bear thinking of it.
We'll never get another servant like Gwenny.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Are you suggesting, Arthur, that I should do without a servant?
I don't see why not. With 2 able-bodied women in the house.
Oh, but, Dad, have you thought what people would say?
Aye. They'd say Dr. Agate's practice had fallen into such straits that he couldn't afford a servant.
Well, it's true. If you could find some way to make my patients pay the bills they owe me. Oh, you'll never get another servant for the same wages we pay Gwenny.
Oh, the new one I found won't cost much more.
You don't mean you've hunted up a new servant already. How much will she cost?
Oh, I'm sick of hearing how much will she cost. And it's everlasting having just enough money and not a scrap left over for doing that.
Greed, Hannah, greed.
Oh, perhaps I am greedy. But it's only fools and wasters that don't try and get everything they can out of life.
No man's ever called me greedy for money, Hannah. And I hope no man ever does.
Will you step in here, please? The doctor will be down in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail.
Thank you.
Oh, you can have a chair if you like.
You must be Gwenny.
I've never seen you before that I can remember.
No, this is the first time we've ever met.
How did it come to pass, then, that you walk in here and call me by my Christian name as bold as brass?
Ever heard of mind readers?
Now, don't think you can be cheeky.
Good morning. That'll be all, Gwenny.
I'm very glad to meet you, Dr. Haggard.
Well, now, what's the trouble? You look a little bilious.
No, Doctor, I'm as fit as a fiddle.
Now, I may as well tell you at the outset that I don't want any insurance.
I'm not here to sell insurance. I happen to be motoring through your lovely countryside, enjoying the beauty of the spring foliage. And as I came to the village of Childebarnston, I realized I'd stumbled on an opportunity to perform a duty I've postponed too long.
Well, what duty is that?
The payment of a sacred debt I owe you, Doctor.
And what debt do you owe me, in heaven's name?
A matter of 10 years ago, you had a patient, a man whom I called, and still call, my best friend.
Oh, you don't say so.
A West Country lad, Doctor, an orphan who lived for some time in Childebarnston. I'm referring to Christopher Bean.
Oh, it's you, is it?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, and I took you for a patient. Can you beat that? Oh, well, I wasn't expecting you for some hours, yeah?
You were expecting me?
Well, I got your telegram, Mr. I got it in my pocket here. Let me see now. What was the name?
Is that the telegram? May I see it? They so often mix them up.
That looks plain enough.
Oh, yes. Yes, quite. I forgot I said 12 noon. Thank you. It took me less time to get here than I thought.
You say here that you're an admirer of Crispine.
That's putting it mildly, Dr. Haggard.
I'm just wondering if your Crispine and mine are the same.
Oh, I'm certain.
Did the chap you're thinking of fancy himself as a bit of a painter?
Well, you might put it like that.
It's the same fellow, then.
Yes, poor chap.
Oh, we used to humour him about his pictures. Well, you've got to humour a man who's as far gone in health as poor Chris was.
I know you did everything you could for him.
Well, I hope I know my duty. But in a case like that, you know, this part of the British Isles is no climate for tuberculosis.
Oh, no.
If he'd had the wherewithal to get himself down to Cornwall or the south of France, he might have stood a chance, if he'd kept off the drink. But as it was, there wasn't much I could do, except give him a studio.
Did you really?
Yes, the old cow shed at the bottom of the garden. His pictures were appalling, though. If the boy had studied art...
Yes, I dare say you're right. Recently, though, Doctor, only the other day, in fact, as I was going through an old desk, I came across some letters Chris wrote me while he was living here. In the last of them... Disgraceful of me to have neglected it all these years. He spoke of your kindness to him and his gratitude, and he asked if I couldn't help him to pay back what he owed you.
Well, if that isn't like old Chris. Never a penny to his name. It was borrow, 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 morning, noon and night.
Let me see. The sum came to...
Oh, I don't remember now.
Exactly £20. Allow me, Doctor. A little late, but pays in full.
Oh. Good heavens.
I apologize for keeping you waiting.
Oh, my dear sir.
Well, the debt's paid at last. I shall go back to London a happier man.
Would you allow me, sir, to shake you by the hand?
I should be honored.
Anna, Ada, I want you to meet my family, Mr. Davenport.
Delighted.
Do you want me, Arthur?
I called you in here to present you to an honest man.
Oh.
Mr. Davenport, my wife, and my daughter, Ada.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs.
Haggard?
Hello,
Ada.
Mr. Davenport here, who sent me that telegram from London, is a friend of our old friend Chris Bean. And now, 10 years after Chris passed away, this loyal friend, this more than honest man, has called to pay me the little debt that Chris owed me. £20. Well, things like that don't happen every day.
Oh, they certainly don't.
Let this be an example and an inspiration to you both.
Oh, yes, Dad, it will, Arthur, it will.
Really, Doctor, you colour me with confusion. I see nothing extraordinary in what I've done.
Oh, you try your hand at collecting doctor's bills and you'll see.
And I told you how much my friend meant to me. I'm just wondering if he didn't leave any of his pictures to remember him by. Of course, you've told me what you thought of them. And Chris wrote how even the village lads laughed when they watched him painting.
Yes, it's rather an unkind thing to say, but I'm afraid they did.
Oh, we never let him see us laughing, no.
Even if they're not good, they'd have a special sentimental value for me. You can understand.
Well, there's nothing to be ashamed of in that.
Then if you do have any pictures, do you think I might take them away with me? His letters mention 6 or 7 he left here.
Oh, there are at least that, yes.
Arthur, I believe there's one still outside in the chicken house.
The chicken house?
Hannah, you're right, there is. Oh, but I hate to think of the condition it must be in.
I'd like to have it, Doctor. It doesn't matter what condition it's in. It's a souvenir, you know.
Go on, Ed. We'll go see if we can get it.
Oh, all right.
Yes, I remember now. There was a leak in the roof of the chicken house. I was looking for something watertight, and I found that picture. Well, there was no reason for attaching any value to it, as it were.
No.
Oh, wait. Gwenny, another idea has just occurred to me, Mr. Davenport.
Yes, Dr. Haggard.
Gwenny, run up to the attic and look in the corner, just under the little window that'll never open. I seem to remember he used one of those pictures of Chris Bean's to stop a leak there as well.
What is it you want with the picture, Doctor?
Mr. Davenport wants to take it home with him.
Mr. Davenport wants to take it home?
Yes, Mr. Davenport was Chris Bean's oldest friend.
Mr. Davenport was?
Yes, now I'll go and see if you can get that picture off without tearing it.
Oh, yes, Doctor, I guess.
I'm sorry to cause your household so much trouble.
No trouble at all. I only hope we can find what we're looking for.
Well, here it is, from the chicken house. It's a bit dirty, but you know what chickens are.
Well, let Gwenny get at it with a bit of carbolic soap.
Oh, no. That won't be necessary. Let me have it.
I assure you it won't be any trouble.
Oh, no, please, please. I'd be afraid. I mean, I'd rather clean it myself.
Oh, but you can't carry it off in that nasty condition.
Don't you see what it'll mean to me to bring this picture back to life? It'll seem almost as if Chris himself...
Ah, yes, of course. Arthur, you didn't think about Ada's picture over there on the wall.
But Mr. Davenport doesn't want Ada's picture.
Oh, of course he doesn't. But none means that I turned over one of Chris Bean's pictures and painted my bunch of flowers on back.
Well, I never knew that. Well, let's have a look at it. Oh, now, isn't that a pity, Mr. Davenport? Here's another we might have given you if Ada hadn't gone daubing all over it.
May I look at it? Did you paint this, Miss Haggett?
If you can call it painting. Well, I did.
You painted this little masterpiece?
Oh, it isn't a masterpiece, Mr. Davenport. At least, I'd never call it that.
My dear Miss Haggett, don't underestimate your gifts. The exquisite texture of those buttercups is not to be expressed in words.
Oh, Mom, did you hear what Mr. Davenport said?
Of course, I know you won't want to part with this, but if you'll let me buy you this picture...
Yeah, what's it worth?
That's hard to say. Let me see. 12 guineas, perhaps. Yes, I'll pay 12 guineas if she'll sell it to me.
12 guineas? Oh, of course I'll sell it to you.
I don't know that you ought to take the money.
Oh, but, Dad, 12 guineas?
Here you are, Miss Haggard. There's 12-pound notes, 10-shilling notes, and 2 shillings. There.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Davenport. And you've got Chris Bean's picture on the other side of mine.
So I have. Do you know, in my enthusiasm for your work, I had quite forgotten...
It's supposed to be the old stone bridge at Grasmere.
I could not find anything in the attic, Doctor. There is no picture there. No pictures whatsoever.
But, my dear girl, I put it there with my own hands. Just under the little window with all the cobwebs.
There is nothing there now. Only some empty jam jars that Mrs. Haggett's saving up.
But I was positive. Oh, well, that's a great pity, Mr. Davenport.
I'm more than satisfied with what I've got, Dr. Haggett. And now I must detain you no longer. I'm sorry to have caused you so much trouble.
My dear fellow, no trouble at all. Your visit this morning's going to stand out in my mind as one of the happiest memories of my life.
Dr. Haggett, you and I are going to get to know each other very much better. And it occurs to me that we might go into business together. Business which might be highly profitable to both of us.
Business? But I haven't any capital.
It'll require nothing more from you than friendly cooperation.
Oh, I've plenty of that.
Then we are rich men, Dr. Haggett. Now I'll bid you good morning. Goodbye, Mrs. Haggett. And don't forget, you have a great gift, Miss Haggett.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Davenport. Goodbye.
Well, I wonder what business he's got in mind.
Oh, I don't care what it is, as long as it makes us rich.
Ada, that's no way for a daughter of mine to talk. If there's one thing in this world I can't abide, it's greed for money.
Let's go down to shops, Mum, before Dad gets started.
Aye. Come and get ready. You know, if there's anything did happen to make us rich, I wouldn't mind very much.
Oh, my goodness, look at the time. I should be out of my calls. Gwenny?
Yes, Dr. Haggett?
Have you got my visiting list, Gwenny?
Yes, here it is, Doctor.
Oh, that fellow Davenport's taken the doctrine clean out of my mind.
If I was you, Doctor, I would keep my eye on him careful.
Oh, why would you keep your eye on him, Gwenny?
Well, in my idea of things, Dr. Haggett... It is a good idea to watch people pretty close when they know as much as he knows.
Oh, it is you again. The doctor is out making his calls.
It was you I came back to see, Gwenny.
Me?
Yes, if you can spare me a moment, I'd like to talk to you.
And whatever have you in your head to talk to me about?
To say thank you.
And what would you be thanking me for?
For being kind once to a friend of mine. For giving him things that other women denied him. All the warm, tender things he so badly needed.
What do you know about me?
Only what Crispian told me. Except for you, I was the best friend he ever had.
I never heard him speak of no Davenport. He used to talk a lot about his friend James Brown, but I never heard of you.
I am James Brown.
Well, if you are James Brown, what for are you calling yourself Davenport?
Davenport's my professional name.
Besides, if you are James Brown... That would not be the reason why you changed your name.
Oh, why?
Well, I happen to know James Brown got into a lot of trouble. He owed money and he could not pay it back. So he left the place he was living in full speed.
I won't deny I used to be a bit offhand about paying my rent. I've done it often and got into plenty of trouble through it, too. Wouldn't you expect that of a friend of Chris's?
Oh, well, now, perhaps I was wrong, thinking wrong things and acting so old-fashioned towards you and all.
And I knew your name, Gwenny. Don't forget that.
Did Chris really mention my name to you? Oh, that was nice of him.
Chris was fond of you.
Did he say that, too?
Over and over again. Oh. Weren't you fond of him?
Mr. Brown, he was the only man that acted serious with me and talked to me serious. Well, well, so you're James Brown. Oh, dear and wicked. That name brings things back to my mind, it does indeed.
What kind of things?
Oh, this and that.
Chris told me that you were the only one who ever liked his paintings, or realized what he was getting at.
Oh, yes, I like them. Of course, I had to learn to like them, but he learned me. Oh, he learned me a lot of things.
What did he teach you? I'd be interested to hear, if you remember.
Oh, I remember. It was mostly things to see, I suppose. Like the rust color that the wet fields turn into at this time of the year. When the sky turns into the color of that old blue plate over there. That, Mr. Brown, is cobalt blue. That is a painting term, cobalt blue.
Yes.
And he showed me the old red barn and the stone bridge of grass near that he was always painting. And he learned me that old brick isn't red, but mostly green and brown. And that moonlight and snow isn't white at all, but all sorts of colors. He learned me. He learned me that a man can get drunk and not be no different, only just more so. And that everybody has got more good things in them than bad things. Oh, he learnt me a lot. I have lived over and over again the time he was here. Over and over again since he died.
Did he leave you much to remember him by?
But I was just telling you.
But I was thinking of more substantial things.
Substantial?
You're right there, Gwenny. Our memories are the most substantial things we have. They are the only things nobody can take away from us. Still, there are other kinds. Souvenirs.
I was wondering to myself about the memories. I know that nobody can take them away from us, but what happens to them when we take them away from the place where they belong? Don't you think, Mr. Brown, that they get left behind? I've been worried about that lately, Mr. Brown.
Why have you?
Because I'm going away from here. But I don't want to go of it. The doctor and Mrs. Agate think it is because of them.
I shouldn't worry. You'll carry your memories with you wherever you go.
But they won't see the red barn no more. Nor the stone bridge on the grass near road. Nor the cornfield by Briar Turnpike. Nor any of them.
The places he liked to paint.
Yes, I used to take him a cup of hot tea when he was painting.
And you knitted a sweater for him.
Did he write a letter to you about that sweater?
You must have known he'd have written me everything.
Everything about me?
I was his closest friend.
Oh, I would prefer you did not speak about it to Dr. or Mrs. Agate. You know the way people looked on him here. Him being only an artist and everything. They never did understand him. And they would not understand no better neither with knowing that he liked me.
I wouldn't tell, Granny. Oh. I respect your memories. But you must have things of his, too. Little sketches, for instance.
I could show you something a lot better than sketches.
Oh? What would that be?
He painted a picture of me. Life size. It has hung over my bed all these years.
I should certainly like to see that. Granny, show me the portrait.
Someday I will show it to you.
Granny, if you ever need money... I'm not a rich man, you know, but, well, these last few years I've been doing a bit better. And as I say, if ever you were in need, I'd buy anything of Chris's that you have to sell.
Oh, I would not sell nothing, Mr. Brown.
Not to a stranger, Gwenny, I know you wouldn't. But to his friend. I'm trying to get all his pictures together in one place where they'll keep each other company.
Oh, I think that is a grand and proper thing you're doing. Well, I could not sell nothing... But I might give you...
What? The portrait?
Oh, no, I did not mean that. I would have to think a long time before I would part with that.
Of course you would, but to his best friend.
Well, if it was anybody in this world beside you... Here is one of the family now. You better be going if you don't want them to be seeing you.
Yes, but remember, I'm counting on you, Gwenny.
Could I see Dr. Haggett, please?
You could see him if he was here, but he is not here.
I'd like to wait then, if I may.
You must be Gwenny.
You do not know me.
No, but I've heard an awful lot about you. And now I've seen you. Only I expected you'd be wearing a gingham dress.
Gingham dress?
Red and white check gingham, the same as you used to wear.
Dr. Raggett, I am not sorry to see you come home. Indeed, I am not. There is too many things going on around here that is beyond my understanding. I think the best thing for me is to get back into my kitchen and stay there.
So this is Dr. Haggett.
Won't you sit down? Are you a patient?
No, no. Dr. Haggett, in the course of your professional career, you once had as a patient a young friend of mine, a painter.
A painter?
A painter who died 10 years ago. Just lately, I came across some of his letters. Letters written while he lived here under your care. They gave me an idea how, in a small way, I might honor his memory. Dr. Haggett, my friend Christopher Bean died owing you £20. And I totted up the interest on the unpaid bill at 6%. And the total for 10 years comes to exactly £33.04.07. Allow me to offer you my check for the sum.
Thank you very much, sir.
Don't mention it. In paying this, I fulfill a sacred duty to our poor devil that I might have given a hand to before he passed beyond all human aid. I shall go back to London feeling
a happier man.
You take the very words out of my mouth, Dr. Raggett.
There's a question I'd like to ask you, Mr. Rosen. Are you by any chance on the point of inquiring whether Chris Bean left any pictures behind him that you can take away as souvenirs?
No, no, no. I don't do things that way. I don't come begging.
My dear Mr. Rosen, I never said you did. I only asked you if you were...
Well, if you'll allow me to be businesslike, I was on the point of asking you about any pictures you may still have in your possession. You must have some, Dr. Haggett, and I will give you £500 for the lot.
£500? For Chris Bean's picture?
Now, I can't go any higher. That's my offer. Take it or leave it. I consider it very generous.
Oh, I'm not saying a word against your offer, Mr. Rosen. The trouble is, you're not the first. There was a gentleman here 2 hours ago.
With the same proposition?
No. No, not it.
You didn't sell him your Christopher Bean pictures?
No, I gave them to him.
What?
There was the one Chris painted of the old stone bridge on the Grasmere Road, and another...
You gave away the Grasmere stone bridge? Dr. Haggett... You've been swindled.
My dear fellow, you don't need to tell me that.
How on earth did
he sent me a telegram from London saying he was coming.
What was his name?
Oh, I'm not very good at names. Let me see. I remember it now. Davenport. Huh? That's it. Maxwell Davenport.
Davenport?
Yes.
You mean to say Maxwell Davenport let you give him the...
I thought they were no good.
No good?
He agreed with me.
Davenport said that?
Yes. Do you know him?
He's the chief critic on the English Arts Monthly, the best we have in London. He would hardly care to have it known what a dirty trick he played on you to get those pictures free when they worth up £500. We must do something about this.
Excuse me, Dr. Haggett. There's a gentleman from London says you're expecting him.
You're Dr. Haggett.
I am. And this must be Gwenny. What luck you're still here.
Dr. Haggett... I cannot stand no longer to have strange English people come here and call me by my Christian name.
Who are you, sir?
I'm Davenport.
Who?
Maxwell Davenport. I sent you a telegram yesterday from London. Ah, so you're here, Rosen. I might have known the scavengers would be gathering.
Mr. Rosen, is this Davenport?
Yes, it's Davenport.
But it isn't the same chap.
What?
It isn't the same chap, I tell you. So who in heaven's name was the other one? You, sir, say you're Mr. Davenport.
Yes.
Mr. Rosen says you are. All right, then you must be Davenport. But will you, in heaven's name, tell me what this is all about?
It's about one of the world's greatest injustices, Doctor, which I am doing my small part to set right. You once had as a patient a poor boy, a painter.
Yes, I know. Chris Beaton.
Oh, I'm glad you remember him. Now, this boy I mentioned...
died owing me £20 and you've come to pay it.
No, Doctor, no. Don't say that Bean owed any man anything. It is we, all of us, who stand in everlasting debt to him, as the world always stands in debt to its men of genius.
Genius? Chris Bean,
Doctor, I've come here to gather any details I may find concerning his life here for a critical biography of him that I'm writing.
You're writing a book about Chris Bean? Why?
Haven't you read about the sensation his pictures have been making in London and New York?
Mr. Davenport.
Haven't you seen the current number of the London Mercury?
That only came out yesterday, Mr. Davenport.
Right. Well, Dr. Haggart, art is for all time, but the world is often slow to recognize it. Only now, 10 years after his death, has Christopher Bean had his first London exhibition at the Leicester Galleries. Only now do we realize that he was not merely the greatest English painter, but one of the greatest painters of all time.
Our Chris Bean was.
Your Chris Bean, who painted and drank and coughed his short life away here in Childebarnsham. The place from which he wrote to his friend James Brown, alas, also dead, the exquisite group of letters published yesterday in the London Mercury.
Our Christopher Bean. So, Mr. Rosen, those are the letters you chaps kept talking about. Mr. Davenport, we live a long way from London. I'm only a simple country doctor, but I confess, much as I like Chris Bean, I never thought he'd get anywhere in this world. Never.
Well, I'm not exaggerating, Doctor, when I say that no painter of our time has got as far as he has.
Does this mean that people are actually paying large sums of money for Chris Bean's pictures?
Indeed they are. If only the dealers could find more to sell. There are so few that they fetch a high price even in these days.
What do you mean by a high price?
Oh, not less than 2,000 and as much as 5,000.
5,000 what?
Why, guineas.
5,000 guineas each?
Yes.
And you, Mr. Rosen, offered me a paltry £500 for the lot.
A very generous offer for Mr. Rosen. I hope I arrived in time to stop his game.
Another telegram for you, Dr. Haggart.
No, Doctor. I don't usually take part in buying and selling, but to protect you, I will gladly...
Would you mind, sir, explaining this telegram to me?
Let me see. Oh, why, it's clear enough. The Tate Gallery, that's in London, you know, the Tate Gallery offers you 3,000 guineas for the choice of your Christopher Bean canvases.
Oh, Mr. Davenport. You see in me a desperate man.
Desperate, Doctor? The owner of pictures worth a fortune. In his letters, Chris Bean mentioned 7.
Well, the trouble is...
Doctor, for heaven's sake, you haven't let anything happen to them.
They must be somewhere. I'll look for them. I'll find them. And when I do, I'll pay them the honor they deserve. I'll hang them on my walls. Oh, now I come to think of it, I don't think I'm so keen on parting with them. Not now I know their worth. At least, not for the paltry sums I've been offered. But now, please, gentlemen, go away and leave me to talk this over with my family. This is also very sudden, and I must think.
Yes, very well, but I'll come back this afternoon to get your recollections of Bean's life here. Come along, Rosen.
The one chance I ever had in my life to make any money, and it slipped through my fingers.
Oh, I think I'll go upstairs and lie down for a bit. I don't feel very well.
You don't feel very well. You don't. Well, who's to blame for this?
Oh, you can't blame me.
Which of us was it took him in and gave him the old shed to paint?
You had no more use for his pictures than I have.
It's no use arguing. The important thing is not to lose our heads. If the first man wasn't Mr. Davenport, who was he? He got those pictures out of Dad on false pretenses.
Anna, Ada's right, he did.
Then we can get them back.
If it wasn't for that 12 guineas he gave Ada...
That 12 guineas was for my side of picture.
But I don't know his real name. All I know is he's gone back to London a happier man. And I called you both in to have a look at an honest man.
A wicked, sneaking, thieving, greedy creature.
Anna, Ada's right. It's the greed of it that turns my stomach.
If Davenport's right, I allow that greedy sinner to grab between £4,000 and £10,000 out of my hands.
And all that nonsense about going into business with him.
Oh, the wicked, scheming, greedy.
How many pictures did Chris Bean leave here?
Davenport said it was 7.
Well, what's become of the 5?
I wonder if Gwenny has searched the attic properly. You go and have a look at it.
Oh, if they're there, I'll find them.
It's no good, Arthur.
Oh, what do you mean?
It's no good looking for the pictures. I burnt them.
You what?
I put them on the bonfire and I burnt them.
The whole 5?
I should have said there were more.
You would have said there were more. At 5,000 guineas each, you would have said there were more.
Well, you thought there were terrible pictures, too, Arthur.
Don't keep on saying that, woman. You ought to go down on your knees and pray for the forgiveness of both Ada and me.
Gwenny was right. There isn't a single picture in the attic.
Oh, your father knows that, Ada. There isn't a single picture anywhere.
Oh, they took up so much room, I set fire to the lot.
Mum, you didn't. Oh, Mum.
Dear heaven, I've just remembered. Chris Bean did paint another picture while he was here. I've just remembered.
Oh, but what did he paint it of?
Of Gwenny.
Arthur, you're right. He did.
Oh, it's a terrible thing. The hands are blue, and there's a dab of red on her nose.
All right, and she's scraping carrots in a gingham dress.
It doesn't matter what it looks like. It's worth 5,000 guineas. Now, what's become of it?
Oh, he's been hanging in her room ever since he died.
Ada, go to Gwenny's room and see if it's still there.
But if it's still there, then it must belong to Gwenny.
No, wait a minute. I must put my thinking cap on. Gwenny isn't what you might call an artist model, is she?
I should think not.
No, she's not an artist model. She's our servant. Now, had she the right to let him paint her during working hours that I was paying her for out of the sweat of my brow?
Arthur, you're right. Your conscience is clear. Without a shadow of a doubt, that portrait belongs to us.
But what if Gwenny wants to keep it?
Oh, I can always give her a little something. I'm only a simple country doctor and I don't care for money. It's only for the sake of you and your mother that I must have it.
Oh, now,
who
will that be?
Oh, I'll soon find out. Hello? Yes, this is Dr. Haggett. Who? Christopher Bean. Yes. The Grasmere Stone Bridge. How much? No, I'll think it over. Ring me tomorrow.
What was it, Arthur?
He wants to pay me 5,500 guineas for the Grasmere Stone Bridge.
Oh,
do you hear that, Anna?
Oh, 5,500.
Oh, that's the one I painted my picture on back of and sold for 12 guineas.
Where have you been?
All over the place. Looking for that scoundrel who stole that painting of the Grasmere Stone Bridge from here this morning. He's still here somewhere, painting.
Painting?
I found out at the Eccleston Arms. He put his luggage there this morning and he hasn't taken it out yet. Or paid his bill.
Well, I hope you find him. Oh, there were 3 more telephone calls and 7 more telegrams.
I've got no time for telegrams and phone calls. Oh, this sort of thing isn't good for a man of my age. Look, Anna. See how my hands are shaking.
Aye.
If a patient came to me with an appendix, I'd miss it by so much I'd put his eyes out. Only this morning I was a peaceful country doctor, filled with gentle thoughts of medicine, but... Oh, when once you get started on a thing like
but
this...
But what are we going to do, Arthur? You haven't spoken to Gwenny yet about the portrait. She's leaving on the 5 o'clock train and we can't let her take it with her. It's the only one we can be sure of laying hands on.
I've got an idea. Just leave it to me.
Can I get you a cup of tea, Doctor, and a biscuit?
Oh, no, thank you, Gwenny. Just look how my hands are shaking.
Oh, a cup of hot milk, then. Oh, I've never seen you in such a state before. It's all them queer London creatures coming here.
And they're coming back, Gwenny. They'll be back any minute now.
Why do you bother your head with them, Doctor?
One can't shirk one's responsibilities in this life, Gwenny. I wouldn't mind so much if this room looked right. It's that awful patch on the wall where Ada's picture was.
Hmm? Oh, I can wash that off.
Winnie, haven't you got a picture Chris Bean painted of you?
Oh, yes, I've got my portrait.
Well, if that isn't just the thing, Gwenny, we'll hang it over the patch.
Oh, Doctor.
Just till you go, Gwenny.
Oh, don't refuse him, Gwenny. Oh, dear me. I never was able to say no to Dr. Agate. I'll go and fetch him.
I said I'd give her something. I'll give her £5.
Oh, it's a terrible picture. You'll never get your money back.
It's hardly for you, Hannah, that burnt up a fortune to nag at me for risking £5.
Oh, right.
But I'll be honest with you, though. If it wasn't for those telegrams and telephone calls, I wouldn't risk 5 pence on it. You've got the portrait, Gwenny.
Yes, here it is.
Give it to me and I'll put it on the wall.
But it is like you, Gwenny. Oh, yes, you can't get away from it. All the time that he was painting it, he was keeping on at it, saying, Gwenny, this is my masterpiece that I am painting now.
Give her that off.
Gwenny, are you positive he said that?
Oh, yes, indeed. And when it was all finished, he thanked me. He thanked me, Doctor, just as if I had done something for him. Boys like him, it isn't right for boys like him to die so young.
Oh, now, Gwenny, you must cry. You'll have me crying as well.
You'll have us all crying.
Ada! Ada, come down and see Gwenny's portrait on the wall.
You are all so good to me.
We're very fond of you, Gwenny. Fonder than I can put into words. Ah, there you are, Ada. Look, we've got two Gwennys now.
Oh, yes.
And seeing the picture there puts an idea into my head. Since you're leaving us, Gwenny, after all these years, it'd be nice if you left your picture behind here with us.
Leave it here for good? Do you mean for me to go away without it?
Well, I wouldn't ask you to make a sacrifice like that without giving you something instead of it.
But what could you give me instead of it?
Oh, I don't say I could give you anything to make up for what the portrait would mean to us, but I have an idea, Gwenny, that £5 would come in pretty useful in Manchester.
Make it ten, Dad.
All right, I will. I don't think Gwenny will have anything to say against that.
Oh, no, Dr. Agate, I have not got anything to say against it, but I couldn't see my way to giving up my portrait.
Gwenny, you'd better think twice before you refuse what I'm bound to say is a generous offer.
But I got so used to looking at the portrait.
But, Gwenny, that's no better than if you sat down all day in front of a looking glass.
But it isn't me I see in the picture. It is the time when I was young. It is how things used to be in the old days and everything. It is... I cannot see it. Well, if you have made up your mind...
Oh, now our own dear Gwenny is speaking at last.
No, I've still got to think.
Good afternoon. The door was open, and so I took the liberty of just...
If you've come for my portrait, Mr. Brown, I cannot let you have it. I've made up my mind. I wasn't going to let you have it anyway. And now it seems I've got to make other arrangements, so if you'll excuse me...
Were you after Gwenny's portrait as well?
Yeah, you said you were Davenport. She called you Brown, and now we found out your name is Talent.
And, Mr. Talent, you as good as stole a mountain of money from me this morning.
Not at all. It was a simple business operation.
Hannah, take it upstairs. I want to talk to Mr. Talent.
Come along, Ada.
Well, now, Mr. Talent, did you ever know Chris Bean?
Never heard of him until a month ago.
By heavens, you've got a nerve. Where did you get that picture you're carrying? It's one of Chris Bean's.
The Briar Turnpike Cornfield.
Let me see.
But be careful. Don't touch it. It's not dry yet.
Where did you find it?
I painted it.
What are you?
A forger.
A forger? You copy paintings? Then that business you spoke of...
Exactly. Chris Bean's original pictures are lost to us. But thanks to my peculiar gifts, their loss needn't disturb us.
Us?
I paint the pictures... You have only to confirm that they are genuine. Between us, Dr. Haggett, we have an absolute corner in Christopher Bean pictures.
But it isn't right. It's criminal.
I'm offering you a gold mine. Oh,
before you came in this morning, I was respected by the world and at peace with myself. I was tempted by nothing and no man.
We're all mortal, Doctor. You have a wife and an attractive daughter.
Yes, you're right there. And being tempted for one's loved ones isn't half as bad as being tempted on your own account.
Quiet.
How much would I get from this scheme of yours?
I thought 20%.
Not worth it.
Well, I'll be liberal. 25.
Not a farthing under 50.
If you persist in letting your greed come between you...
My greed? Mine? Oh, look, you can't work this scheme without my help, because I'm in a position to discredit you.
Dr. Haggis, it's done.
Mr. Davenport and Mr. Rosen are back, Arthur.
Then send them in, Hannah.
Davenport? Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll take my picture and get along through the back door. But you'll be seeing me again, Dr. Haggis.
Well, Dr. Haggis, have you found the missing treasures?
Only this one.
A portrait of Granny.
And to think that the man who painted this nobility, this strength, this tenderness, died miserably.
Dr. Haggis, I'll give you 3,000 guineas for it.
I'd like to sell it, but... you see, I'm not in a position.
3,500?
I'm not in a position.
But I... don't forget a train. Leave at 5.
Where is she?
She's in her room.
Close the door and watch it.
3,500 I'm offering you, Dr. Haggis.
No, it isn't enough.
Don't be foolish.
I can't forget you with 10 pounds.
I haven't risked it yet.
4,000 guineas, then. And that's the limit.
No.
How much do you want?
Well, I'm not ready to sell this yet, but if I do, you've got to make it worth my while. I take 10,000 guineas.
What?
Are you off your head?
Well, 7,000. Take it or leave it.
I certainly won't take it.
Ha! You've met your match this time, Rosen.
4,500.
Don't slip now, Arthur.
5,000. Half of it down, and the balance tomorrow.
5,500 on the same terms.
Done.
Good work, Rosen.
Well, let's see the money.
Give me time, man. Give me time. I had a check with me for £500. Now I'll have to change the figures. Right, then. Here's the check, and I'll take the portrait.
Arthur, look out. Here she comes.
I'm sorry to break in on you, Dr. Haggis, but my train goes at 5 o'clock, and I have made up my mind.
And here's the £10 I promised you, Willie. Now you must be going.
What is that man doing there with my portrait?
Taking it to London, Willie, to exhibit it.
What right have you to take it away?
Well, I never paid more for a right in my life.
It belonged to me.
Good heaven, what's that?
It belonged to me. I come in here to say goodbye to you, Dr. Haggis, and to fetch my portrait, and what do I find? I find this man sneaking off with it.
But you just sold it to me.
Oh, I never did. I never did.
You've got the money there in your hand, Granny.
Dr. Haggis, it can't be
this. Yes, take this money back. Go on, take it back. You tell me that you was wanting my portrait for to remember me with. I say to you that I would think about the giving of it to you. And I have think. And I am not going to part with it. Never, never. And now you are trying to sell it behind my face. I would be ashamed as never was. Ashamed.
Really?
The old-fashioned sly trick.
This is my house, Willie Thomas, and everything in it belongs to me. And you are my servant, paid with my wages.
Now, come, Dr. Haggis.
This portrait does not belong to you.
For heaven's sake, Doctor, I just give
no,
you...
No, don't get upset, Mr. Rosen, please. There's a little misunderstanding here, that's all. If you and Mr. Davenport will just go into the hall for a moment with my wife, I'll clear this up.
Come this way, please, Ken.
Come along, Rosen.
Only 5 minutes, gentlemen. Gwenny, you're not very grateful after all we've done for you.
I cannot help that, Doctor. I always knew Mrs. Haggis and Ada was greedy, the both of them. But I never knew you was.
Gwenny, I was only trying to make a little money for you. Oh, I don't mean that £10. That was only a joke. I was really going to give you £200. Think of it, Gwenny. £200.
And you was going to get £200 selling my portrait?
People in your position, Gwenny, shouldn't own things that are worth so much money.
Perhaps you are right. I do not know. But my portrait is all that I got in the world. The boy that painted it. Well, I am not ashamed to say it now. It is so long ago. Then I love him. And I still love him. And he died just after he finished painting it, so it was the last thing he ever painted. That is why it means that much to me. It means all the happiness that I ever had. And you know I have not had that much, Dr. Haggis. And now I think I better go and catch my train.
Gwenny, you're thinking only of yourself. Think of your brother and his children. With £200, you could do a lot for them.
But I promised Chris, being faithful, that I would never part with it. The last time I ever see him, I promise, he painted for me.
Who's greedy now? Who would your brother's children say must paint?
Do not nag at me. Let me go and catch my train.
Wait. Gwenny, I'll be honest with you. They want to pay me 5,500 guineas for your portrait.
5,000?
Divide it with me, Gwenny. You take half and give me half. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be having any of it at all.
No, I will not.
Take more than half. Take 4,000.
No, no, I tell you, no.
Greed, Gwenny, greed.
It is not greed. I would not take £1,000,000. You ought to be ashamed. Ashamed.
Oh, Gwenny, I am.
Well, now will you leave me to go?
Yes, Gwenny. I'll have to leave you to go now.
He was that poor, was Chris. He never had no good coat, no nothing warm. Only that one sweater that I knit for him. He never had no warm room for sleeping in. He never had nothing he was needing. He was that poor. How is it that a man can die so poor when he paint pictures that is worth so much?
Because nobody wanted his pictures when he was alive, Gwenny.
But I always like them. That is why I keep so many. Not just because he paint them.
You kept so many?
Yes, I kept them.
How did you get them?
Mrs. Agate put them in a bonfire and I take them off.
Where are they now?
Packed in my box. I roll them up.
How many are there?
17.
17? Did you say 17? Hannah! Ada! Rosen!
Oh, good heavens, Arthur! What is the matter? Daddy!
What's happened now?
Come in here, all of you. Come on, Mr. Davenport. Never mind the portrait, Mr. Rosen. The other pictures have been found.
No.
The ones you burnt, Hannah.
Arthur!
Only you never burnt them. Gwenny's got them in her box. 17 of them.
17 new Christopher Beans?
Arthur, it's a false. Oh, and it's ours.
I saved them from burning, and I was thinking they was mine for keeps.
Now, look here, Dr. Haggart. Before we start talking business, I must know if you really are the rightful owner this time.
Certainly they're mine. They were left here as security for a bill that was never paid.
Yes, Rosen, I expect they do belong to him.
Oh.
But I wouldn't be in a hurry to sell Dr. Haggart. Not the lot, anyway.
Well, good afternoon, all. I will be going now. I'll just take my
things. Unpack your box first and give me the 17
pages. Gwenny, will you let me say just one word to you about your portrait? Oh, I'm not trying to take it from you. But, Gwenny, a work of art like that is a responsibility. Take it to Manchester with you, by all means, but when you get there, don't keep it where it won't be safe. Lend it to the City Art Gallery. You could go there and see it every day, you know. Would you do that, Gwenny?
I would think about it, Mr. Davenport.
Oh, please, Gwenny. I know it's more than a work of art to you. I know the bond that must have existed between you and Chris Bean who painted it.
Bond, indeed. Carrying's on. Mr. Davenport, Crispin was the only man that ever asked me to marry him.
You didn't marry him, though, Gwenny.
He was so ill that I could not say no to nothing he asked from me.
Then you're his widow.
I know that I am.
Then all the pictures belong to her.
She's got to prove it. She's got to prove
it. And I'm sure she can. I certainly believe she can. And you never told, Gwenny.
Well, I give up.
Mom, does this mean that Dad can't... Mom, answer me. Aren't the pictures ours to sell? Oh, it isn't fair. It isn't fair.
She's still got to prove it.
Certainly I can prove it. I got my marriage lines. Do you want to see? And my wedding ring on a ribbon around my neck. Look, you.
Yes, it's a wedding ring, all right.
I was wanting people to have a good idea of me like. But I do not care who knows it now. That I am Mrs. Christopher Bean. That is who I am. Just the same as Mrs. Haggett is Mrs. Haggett. I am Mrs. Christopher Bean. And I never have no carryings on. Not ever.
Thank you.
Radio Theatre this week you heard The Late Christopher Bean, written by Sidney Howard and adapted for radio by Dorothy Bennett. It starred Roger Service, Jeffy Moulton, Joan Buchanan, Don Ridgway, Cecil Northcote and Ivor Kisson. It was produced by Rolf Jacobs and directed by Delphine Lethbridge in Durban. The productions that air on Radio Theatre comes courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.